All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive here on LexPlug.
Yeah, excited for this one.
Me too. Today we're going to tackle Grohman v. Commissioner. It's a Supreme Court case from 1937. And you know, it's really wild how relevant this case still is, even today.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for those of you who are working with, you know, business law, especially when you're in that area where tax law and corporate structures kind of come together. This is just a case you absolutely have to wrap your head around.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are law students tuning in, think of this as your, like, express lane to really understanding a key concept in corporate tax law. Grohman just, like, perfectly showcases how seemingly small, almost insignificant changes in how a business deal is structured can have massive tax implications. It's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is.
And today, we're going to laser focus on two big things that came out of Grohman. What the court decided about who actually counts as a party to a reorganization in these kind of deals.
Right.
And why this whole idea of continuity of interest is just so, so essential.
Yeah, so to kind of kick things off, I think it'd be helpful to keep this question in mind as we go through everything. Why did this seemingly straightforward exchange in Grohman lead to a pretty hefty tax bill for the shareholder involved?
Yeah, great question.
So why don't we start by, you know, painting the picture here. What were the core facts of this case? What was going on?
Okay, so picture this. We've got the Metals Refining Company of Indiana and the Glidden Company. They get together and they hatch this plan. Essentially, Metals Refining is going to be like absorbed into a brand new subsidiary that Glidden is going to create.
Okay.
And this new subsidiary, just for reference, is incorporated in Ohio.
Okay, so it sounds like at first glance, you know, a pretty standard merger kind of situation. Right?
Yeah.
So where did things get tricky for our taxpayer, for Mr. Grohman?
Well, you know what they say, the devil's in the details.
Right, right.
So Mr. Grohman, just like all the other shareholders and Metals Refining, they didn't just walk away with Glidden stock. They got like a mixed bag, some shares of stock in Glidden itself, some shares in this newly created Ohio subsidiary, and then, to sweeten the deal, a little bit of cash.
Okay, so what happened to Metals Refining after this whole exchange went down? Did it just keep on trucking, you know, under new ownership?
Nope. After the exchange, Metals Refining was completely dissolved, like gone, kaput. And all of its assets, everything it owned, got transferred over to that new Ohio subsidiary, Glidden's little creation.
So Grohman ends up with this kind of portfolio, right?
Mm.
He's got stock in the parent company, Glidden, stock in the subsidiary that's now basically taken over the old company's operations, and then some cash.
Yep, that's the picture.
So how did he handle all this when tax time rolled around?
Well, Grohman, he only reported the cash he got as taxable income. His thinking was, the stock, both the Glidden stock and the Ohio stock, that was all part of a tax-free reorganization.
Which, on the surface, I mean, it doesn't sound, you know, totally unreasonable, right?
Yeah, but obviously the Internal Revenue Service, they weren't exactly on board with that interpretation.
So what was the IRS's take on all of this? What was their argument?
They argued that the Glidden stock Grohman received, that wasn't eligible for the whole tax-free treatment as part of the reorganization.
Okay.
They were adamant that it was other property, based on what the tax code said, and therefore it was taxable.
So this was more than just a disagreement, you know, settled with a strongly worded letter from the IRS. This thing went through the whole legal process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. The case first landed in the Board of Tax Appeals. And get this, the board actually sided with Grohman.
What? No kidding.
They agreed that Glidden was a legitimate party to the reorganization.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
So why did the IRS keep going? What grounds did they have for, like, an appeal?
Well, the IRS, they just weren't buying it. They weren't convinced.
Okay.
And so they took the case up to the circuit court.
Right.
And that court, they flipped the script completely. They reversed the board's decision and ended up siding with the IRS.
Oh, wow.
They found that, yes, that Glidden stock was taxable income.
And so that's what brought it to the Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
This back and forth, this disagreement between different parts of the judicial system.
Absolutely. You had these conflicting rulings in different circuit courts about how to apply these reorganization rules, which, as you can imagine, created a lot of confusion and uncertainty.
Right.
So the Supreme Court, you know, they stepped in to try to clear things up and make sure everyone was on the same page.
Okay, so now we've got the stage set, right? We've got the background, we understand the facts of the case, and we see how it made its way up to the highest court in the land. So let's really dive into the heart of the matter here.
Mm-hmm.
What was that fundamental legal question that the Supreme Court had to wrestle with in Grohman? What was the make or break issue?
The core question before the Supreme Court was this. could Glidden, the parent company, remember the one that didn't directly acquire the assets or stock of metals refining?
Right.
Could they actually be considered a party to the reorganization under the definition laid out in Section 112 of the Revenue Act of 1928? That was the million-dollar question.
And why was that definition so important? Why was it the key to everything?
Because the answer to that question determined whether or not that stock exchange involving Glidden stock qualified for the sweet, sweet tax-free treatment.
Okay, so if the court had said, yes, Glidden, you're in, you're a party, Grumman might have gotten away without paying taxes on that Glidden stock.
Exactly.
But if the court said, nope, Glidden's out, then boom, it's taxable, other property.
Yeah.
And what was the Supreme Court's final verdict?
The Supreme Court, in the end, they agreed with the Circuit Court and the IRS.
Okay.
They held with no ambiguity that Glidden was not a party to the reorganization.
Okay, so Glidden's out.
Yeah.
But we need to understand why, right?
Yes.
So let's break down the court's reasoning. What were those key elements of their rationale?
Okay, so a big part of their reasoning hinged on how they interpreted Section 112(i)(2) of the Revenue Act. This section defines party to a reorganization, and there's this one word that carries a lot of weight, includes.
Includes, okay.
The court was very clear that includes, it's an expansive term. It's meant to broaden the definition, not limit it to just the specific examples listed in the statute.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So even if an entity isn't mentioned in those specific examples, that doesn't automatically mean it can't be a party, right?
Exactly. But, and this is huge, the court also emphasized that this broad interpretation doesn't mean just any entity that had some hand in the deal gets to wear the party hat. They really scrutinize Glidden's specific role in this particular reorganization.
So how did the court characterize Glidden's role? What was it about their involvement that didn't quite fit the definition of a party?
They saw Glidden as more of a facilitator, a behind-the-scenes operator.
Okay.
Yes, they set the stage by creating that Ohio subsidiary. But fundamentally, Glidden itself didn't directly acquire either the assets or the stock of metals refining. It was like an intermediary, pulling the strings from a distance.
So more of an orchestrator, strategist, rather than a direct participant in the nitty-gritty exchange of assets and stock?
Exactly. And this brings us to another cornerstone principle that was super important to the court's decision, the continuity of interest doctrine.
Yes, continuity of interest, a term that pops up all the time in corporate tax discussions. But can you break it down for us in plain English? What does it actually mean, and why was it such a big deal in the Grumman case?
The basic idea behind the continuity of interest doctrine is that for a reorganization to be considered tax-free, the original shareholders, the folks who own the company being acquired, they have to maintain a significant ongoing ownership stake in the reorganized business. This usually means getting stock in the company that's doing the acquiring or in a direct successor. It's like a safeguard to ensure that it's a legitimate reorganization, not just a sneaky way to disguise a sale as something else.
Got it. So in Grumman, how did that principle apply? Why did the court feel that the continuity of interest wasn't maintained?
Well, remember, the metals refining shareholders, they received stock in Glidden, the parent company. But the court said, hold on, that Glidden stock, it represents ownership in Glidden's entire business.
Right, right.
All its assets, everything, which was way bigger, way more diverse than the original business of metals refining. It was like apples and oranges. So for the court, this meant the continuity of interest in the original business, in metals refining specifically, that was broken.
So even though they got stock, because it was stock in the parent company and not directly linked to the continuation of metals refining, that was the problem.
Exactly. The shareholders no longer had a direct stake in what had been their original business. It was like they had traded shares in a local bakery for shares in like a global food conglomerate, totally different investments. And the court really stuck to the plain everyday meaning of the terms in the law. Glidden didn't directly take over Indiana's assets or stock, so they didn't fit the common sense understanding of being a party to that specific reorganization.
Makes sense. So are there any like specific principles or maybe like really memorable quotes from the Grumman decision that really stand out? Stuff that's still super relevant for folks working in law today, especially for those of you who are, you know, just starting out on your legal journey.
Absolutely. One big takeaway from Grumman is that if shareholders get paid in cash or other property during a reorganization, any gain they make up to the value of that cash or property, that's usually taxable. And remember, in this case, that Glidden stock, that was considered the taxable other property.
Right. And There's this quote from the Grohman decision that really sticks with me.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
It really sums up how the court saw Glidden's role.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the court said that Glidden was merely an efficient agent, not a party in the natural meaning of the term. It's like a one-liner that sums up their whole view. Glidden helped make the deal happen, but they weren't a direct participant in the core exchange in the way the law intended for a party. It's a good reminder for you folks that the form of the transaction, how it's structured, matters, not just the final result.
Right. And like we were saying before, Glidden never actually received any assets or stock directly from those Indiana shareholders. That exchange happened with the new Ohio subsidiary.
Exactly. It all went down between the Indiana shareholders and that Ohio subsidiary. Glidden was one step removed, and that made all the difference. And as we've been saying, that's where the continuity of interest got broken. That Glidden stock represented an interest in this big, diverse entity. It wasn't a direct continuation of what Metals Refining had been doing.
Right.
So, big picture, why do you think Grohman is still such a big deal for people who work in tax law, even today, especially for those of you who are just starting out your legal careers?
It really, like, set a precedent for defining what actually counts as a party to a reorganization.
Right.
Yeah, it did. It made it crystal clear that just being involved in some way isn't enough. You have to be directly involved in acquiring or transferring the assets or stock of that target company.
Right. You'd have to be right in the thick of it.
Exactly. And that has huge implications for how deals are structured even now.
And I think it really highlights that super important lesson about how to interpret laws, right?
Absolutely.
You know, even if you can make a case for fitting into a broad definition of a term, the courts are often going to look at the plain everyday meaning of those words that Congress used when they wrote the law.
Exactly. And from a practical perspective, for those of you who are going to be, you know, advising on mergers and acquisitions, Roman is a huge reminder. You have to be meticulous about how you structure these deals to make sure the original shareholders, they keep that continuity of interest in what's basically the same business. You can't just throw in the parent company's stock and think, oh, it's tax-free now. If that underlying business continuity isn't really there, the IRS is going to have questions.
So you can't just dress up a sale to look like a reorganization and expect to avoid the taxes.
Exactly. It has to be the real deal.
So let's play a little what if game for a second just to really drive this home.
Okay. I like it.
What if in Grohman, Glidden had just merged directly with Metals Refining?
Interesting twist.
Yeah. Instead of going through the whole process of creating that new Ohio subsidiary.
Right.
Do you think the tax consequences would have been different for Grohman and those other shareholders?
It's very likely things would have shaken out differently. In a direct merger, the Metals Refining shareholders, they would have gotten stock directly in the surviving company, which would be Glidden. And in that case, you'd have a much stronger argument that the continuity of interest was preserved.
Interesting.
It would still be part of the bigger Glidden organization, but it would be a more direct link. That whole indirect subsidiary structure they used in Grohman, that's what really threw up a red flag for the court. That's what triggered those unwelcome tax consequences.
So that one seemingly small choice, direct merger or subsidiary, made all the difference.
Absolutely. It shows just how critical it is to sweat the small stuff, especially when you're dealing with taxes.
It really does. It's a great reminder.
Oh, sure.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Grohman v. Commissioner, what's that one big takeaway that you want our listener to remember?
The core lesson of Grohman is this. When you're dealing with corporate reorganizations and how they're taxed, you have to pay super close attention to two things.
Okay.
First, the exact wording of the law itself.
Got it.
And second, the real economic reality of what's happening in those transactions. The idea of keeping that business alive and well in the hands of the original owners, that continuity of the enterprise, it's absolutely crucial.
It really shows how even a small choice about how you structure a deal can have massive tax consequences for everyone involved.
Right.
It's a good reminder that you can't just tack on the tax stuff at the end as an afterthought.
Exactly.
You have to be thinking about it from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And it really taps into this broader legal idea of substance over form.
Right.
While Grohman was all about that specific definition in the law and the whole continuity of interest thing, the fact that the court really dug into the true nature of what Glidden was doing, the actual economic impact of the deal, that really speaks to this bigger legal concept.
So the court looked beyond just the paperwork and saw the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Wow.
Mm.
This has been really fascinating. This case, I mean, it happened almost 100 years ago, but it's still so relevant. Thanks so much for helping us unpack it all today. I think everyone listening now has a much clearer understanding of this landmark case and what it means.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And for our listeners out there, I want you to think about this. How do the principles we talked about today in Grohmann still shape how we understand corporate tax strategies? How important are those structural choices even in today's crazy complex business world? What seems like a small decision in the business world could actually have huge legal and financial consequences. That's something to really think about. Until next time.
See you then.